It's incredibly hot, isn't it? And I'm sure we're going to be battling against the heat tonight, but we'll also do what we can, I'm sure. So let's keep these two verses then open before us this evening. Romans 5 and verse 3, and 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. Now it's the last time for us to look at this verse in 1 Corinthians and chapter 10. We've spent a number of sermons working our way through the verse, and we've reached now the final phrase of verse 13. Let's read the whole verse. So, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation, he will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So the final phrase then is Paul's conclusion there at the end of the verse, that you may be able to bear it. Let's ask God to help us as we turn to his word. Lord, for a lovely day, we give thanks to you. And Lord, it is hot. We need your help, as always, in every way, if we are to hear your word. And Lord, after hearing your word, we are going to pray together. And Lord, our prayers are a response to what we hear. So help us to hear then, and we are amazed at how timely your word is. Because Lord, we began this series in Romans 5 a long time ago. And at this point, we have reached the idea of stress. And so many of our number are experiencing the very stress referred to in our Bibles. So Lord, we thank you then for your perfect timing in bringing your word to us at this point in our lives. Help us then, our God, to hear your word, to learn its lessons, because no doubt in the week to come, we'll know stress one way or another, small or great. So help us to learn the lessons. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the first thing I want to say to you as we look at the very last phrase of verse 13 is that this verse takes us from the first stepping stone, which is stress, and it takes us to the second stepping stone, which is perseverance. So for those of you who take notes or even write in your Bibles, take a look at Romans 5 and verse 3. And in that verse then, you have written, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance at the end of the verse. Now, insert there between the word tribulation and perseverance, insert 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. Because that verse, 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, it explains to you how we progress from stress to perseverance. So the steps that we have taken from stress to perseverance, the way between the two, if you like, is this verse in 1 Corinthians. So insert that. And as you note the two verses then, I'm sorry that you're flicking between the two, but we need to do it. So if you look at 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, we end up with the word bear, which belongs to the same family as the word perseverance in verse 3. They're not the same term, but they're the same idea. It's the idea of perseverance. So how are we going to persevere when we're under stress? Well, remember verse 13. First of all, whatever we experience, it is that which is common to all men. Remember that you have a faithful God who is right there in the midst of your stress, refusing certain pressures to come your way, and then when others do, he's in sovereign command over them, and he will not allow you to be burdened more than you are able to be. Then this morning, what did we say? Every pressure, every stress is accompanied by the resources that you need. Everything required is provided for you by God. And then right here, the last phrase, so that you may be able to be. So, you've all done it then. If you've not written in your Bibles, you've made a mental note that from step one, stress, to step two, perseverance, we need the truth of 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. So, what you're going to say to me is, okay, Neil, to go from perseverance to character then, do we need another verse or a couple of verses in between to help us make that step? And of course, the answer is yes. And we'll be looking at those in the weeks to come. So, we've reached perseverance. So, tonight our theme is persevering as Christians, persevering as a church when we are under pressure. That's the idea for this evening. So what I want us to see is that the New Testament handles this theme of perseverance almost more than we realize. And I'm very impressed with the way that the New Testament writers will talk in different ways about the subject of perseverance. So let's begin with a definition. Perseverance means to bear up under pressure. Perseverance means to endure patiently. Perseverance means to keep going. Keep going in your faith in Christ. Keep going in your living for Christ. Keep going in fellowship with your brothers and sisters. So this idea then is of quiet and consistent plodding along in the faith as you endure the pressures that God has brought your way. So are we all clear what it means? So here we are tonight, it's a hot night, but we are persevering. And tomorrow we'll persevere in work, we'll persevere in our family life, we'll come together to meet for prayer, and we'll persevere in prayer. I think one of you last week in prayer meeting, in your prayer said, I won't say who it is, but I remember, and it's fine to say it. You said, Lord, we are here every week asking the same things, praying about the same people in the same situation. So what do we need? We need to persevere. Persevere on a Monday. Persevere in your reading of the Bible and your own prayer life. So perseverance. What I want us to see tonight is this. The New Testament is full of appeals to the people of God to persevere. And what the Bible does, it gives you images or pictures that are designed to encourage you to persevere. And whether you look at Paul or James or Peter, or earlier we read from Hebrews, whether you think of the preacher there, there are these calls again and again to the people of God to persevere. So I want to say this. What we need to be clear about is that there's nowhere, I don't think, perhaps you disagree, there's nowhere in the New Testament where you are presented with the idea that a Christian will suddenly and dramatically fall away from the faith. The New Testament rather talks about gradual and quiet and unnoticed slipping away. And that, I think, is how we are to understand perseverance. So we are not talking about a Christian suddenly overwhelmed so that she gives up. Rather, we are talking about a Christian man or a woman who, under pressure, will now and again stop coming on a Sunday, who now and again will make decisions that means she isn't present with the people of God, or he isn't there. And then over time, that person, under pressure, has slipped so far away that they are out of sight. Some of you are going to say to me, Neil, you've been saying this to us before. Why is that? Why is this something I keep saying to you? So I'm almost tempted to stop for a moment and do something that a preacher should never do. I'm almost tempted to stop and to pray with you, because all of us either know or we are witnessing in our fellowship people who, because of stress, are drifting away. They may be under personal stress. They may be under work stress. It may be stress about a relationship, but that constant pressure is having the effect of causing that brother or sister to, in an unnoticed way, drift. Can you think of such? And we need to pray for such. Now, that's what the New Testament picture presents us with. This subtle and barely noticeable at first drift because of the pressures. Now, let me just remind you of verse 13. Will you turn to it if you've got it there? When we first turned to look at this verse, I said to you that the test of verse 13, you know, no testing or no temptation, that test has the idea of the person who imposes the test, they want you to pass. And you may remember I spoke about teachers and how teachers, when they set tests for their children, they either want their children to pass or they want their children to fail. Now, when God tests us, when he puts pressure on us, God's desire is that we pass. And passing means persevering. So God isn't burdening us or testing us or pressurizing us so that our faith crumbles and we fall away. Rather, God's purpose is that we continue in our faith, learning the lesson of perseverance. So let's move on. The New Testament then warns about the danger of not persevering. And then to encourage perseverance, our New Testament provides us with pictures. So we read earlier from Hebrews 12. Will you turn to it for a moment? And we began with the first two verses, and then we turn to verse 12. So if your Bibles are there, turn to Hebrews 12. Can I ask you, look at verse 12 and tell me, what's the picture that this preacher is using to encourage the notion of perseverance? And many of you will say straight away, oh, we know what picture that is. We see it in verses 1 or 2, and we see it here now, even perhaps further up than verse 12. It is the picture of a marathon runner. And the New Testament is very keen on using this idea. The Christian life is not a sprint. The Christian life is a slow race. And not just our writer here, but you could turn to Paul when he writes to Timothy, and he uses the same picture of a slow and deliberate effort sustained over many miles, that we should continue to run the race. And that image is all about endurance. So take a look at verse 12 down to verse 13 and so on. And you see here a picture of an athlete who's been running for a long time. Now, I can't think of anything worse than running a marathon. It's very popular these days with certain people. But as you look at verses 12 and 13, can you see that this runner is depicted for us in two ways? First of all, his body is paying the price. Look at verse 12. Strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. This runner is feeling the pressure in his joints. He's hurting as he runs the race. And here is the danger for this athlete. If he continues running as he is, then his physical condition will get worse and he'll give up running. And so the appeal is to strengthen the hands and the feeble knees. Now, I'm sure many of us, running the race of our Christian lives, perhaps we've been in the marathon now for a long time, and the pressures we're now under, we're beginning to feel it, aren't we? We are beginning to notice the effects in our person. We've been so long running the Christian life. And then verse 13, make straight paths for your feet, so that which is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Now, can you see how the picture's changed? In the first verse, it's the runner with his sore feet and his hurting knees and his arms are aching because of the effort of running. But in verse 13, attention is paid to the track or the path that he is taking. And he's been running through a particularly grueling patch of ground. Now, the athlete here isn't in a stadium. He's not running on a nice flat surface. He is running through the mountains and the valleys. He is running through the ruggedness of the countryside. And he's been running for some time over stones and rough paths. And he's really feeling it as a result. And so our preacher, in using this image of a marathon runner, is appealing to the Christian who is under pressure to endure. Keep running, even though your body's aching, and your feet are sore, and your arms are hanging, and the path is difficult. Keep running. I think many of us would identify with this, wouldn't we? We would feel it. We are going through it right now. So the appeal is to persevere. Our time is going, so let's use some more of these illustrations. Can you think of any? So how does the New Testament talk, presenting pictures to you to encourage you to persevere in your faith? Well, I've got two, and perhaps you'll have some more. Another favorite image is of the soldier. And I can remember many years ago studying with you on a Sunday, saying to you that the church isn't meant to be a hospital. The church is meant to be a military unit. Now, I stand by that. There's still, I think, room for the church as a hospital. But this appeal is for Christians to be soldiers, to be fighters, to stand their ground and not yield. And it's the Apostle Paul who likes this image of a soldier. And if you read the Apostle Paul, and you ever read the word stand fast, stand in the Lord, he has the image of a Roman soldier. And the Roman soldier is under attack, but he digs his feet into the ground. He has that sandal that has a spike on it, and he digs it into the ground, and he stands firm, and he's not going to yield, and he won't give an inch, and he's going to maintain his position. He's going to hold fast as the enemy assaults him. Now, there's this other image of patient enduring, perseverance that runs through the New Testament. Well, one more image, another one favoured by the Apostle Paul. Can you think of it? Again, when he's writing to Timothy, and there's a young man who is finding it difficult to persevere. All of us know Timothy's difficulties, don't we? Can I recap them for you? Timothy is not feeling well, and Timothy is lonely, and he wants to get married, just like anyone else, I guess. And Timothy is being criticized in his church. The older members are finding fault with his preaching. And Timothy has argued with people in the church, and he's lost his patience. And worst of all, Paul, his great spiritual father, is in prison. And Timothy is fearful, isn't he, of being arrested. And he's fearful of what he would be like if he were put in prison. And so Timothy is struggling to keep going as a minister and as a Christian. So what's the image that Paul uses to Timothy? He uses the soldier image, but then in the same chapter, chapter 2, he uses the image of the farmer. Someone who sows and reaps and waits. Someone who takes his time, who takes the long view, who knows that there will be months of hard soil. There will be hours of back-breaking work. There will be lonely moments in the fields, but who waits on God, for God to give him his harvest. So there's these ideas. There is the athlete and the soldier and the farmer, all laid out for us so that we endure to the end. Well, let's finish with the final way in which the New Testament encourages perseverance. Look at Hebrews 12 and the first two verses. And these two verses are justly famous, aren't they? Because first of all, they present us with the image of the athlete. And the athlete, in verse 1, has arrived back to where the crowd is. So he's done his long journey, and he's ran in solitude, and he's made his way across the course that's been set. And then you can imagine the athlete, can't you? Having run for these hours, he turns back to where the crowd meets. He enters the stadium. And as he enters the stadium, there's this vast crowd that welcome him. And it's a crowd of athletes who have done the same as he has just done. And you can visualize it. It's not difficult, I'm sure. You visualize him turning into the stadium. And as he do so, there's this great cheer erupted. And he hears the cries, and the voices are raised, and his spirits are lifted, and he continues that final stretch of his journey. And as he does so, we see him cross the finishing line. Now, that's the idea in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It's the idea that Paul will again take up. And he'll talk, won't he, about the upward call, when the athlete is called up onto the stage to receive his victory prize. Paul will talk about the crown of glory that the athlete is then given. He talks about that moment of fulfillment in the athlete's experience. What the New Testament does to encourage you to persevere is to tell you, don't look back, keep looking forward. Forget that which is behind. Press on to that which is your certain future. And the New Testament emphasizes this so much. The moment of crossing the line and receiving the prize, of being welcomed into the presence of God, being introduced by the Lord Jesus Christ, coming faultless before your Father's throne. So I want us to encourage ourselves with this thought. You and I, persevering, continuing, enduring under all the pressures that we are experiencing, we can be sure that when we cross the finishing line, there you and I will be welcomed into the presence of God. Can you imagine what that means? I want you to imagine you're bringing your marathon to a close and your body's hurting and your knees are aching and your feet are bleeding and you come into that final moment and the crowd is there. And this crowd is made up of men and women who've gone before us. We've read about them. And we've talked about them and we've studied them and we might have lived with them and they went first. And there they are, cheering us on as we cross that finishing line. And can you imagine what it would be for you when you cross that line and you are given a crown of glory? Now, what Jesus himself tells us is that when you cross that finishing line, you'll hear two words. And they're not words that we hear very often. And they're not words that we are good at saying to each other. I don't say them to you, perhaps, and you don't say them to me. But when we cross that finishing line, we'll hear two words. And those two words will be, well done. Well done, because you continued and you endured and you persevered and you took your dragging legs and your aching feet and you walked. And when the tough times came, you endured and you continued and well done. Can you imagine hearing that? Can you imagine what it would be like for Jesus himself to say to you, all that pressure you knew, because you continued, well done. And there's an idea that Peter has that we may see in due time. When Peter's talking about this moment when the believer is introduced to God. And what Peter does is he tells us that it's a moment of celebration. So imagine Jesus Christ presenting you to his Father. And you come to the very presence of God. And you will not hear the words, why did you sin there? Or fail there? Or buckle over there? Instead, the words will be, well done, come to that place prepared for you. Now that's the facts of our Bible. And that's what encourages us to persevere. And I want one final thought. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. So what do we need? We need an example. And what example do we have? We have the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. There is joy set before you. There is the joy of an endless life. There is the joy of a new heaven and a new earth. There is the joy of the glory of God. The joy of being like Christ and with Christ. So for the joy set before us and the joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross. Now there's the same idea. He persevered. He kept going. And there's our example. We persevere. We keep going. We despise the shame. So he, do you remember we said this a few weeks ago? Jesus Christ took our shame upon himself. The mocking and the ridicule. And he hated it. And the word there in verse 2 means to hate, to absolutely despise his experience. Hated the shame. And in chapter 12, our author will tell us, and we may see it for ourselves, that it's okay to hate what you're going through. It's okay to wish you weren't going through what you are. Look at what he writes in verse 11. No chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. It was painful for Jesus to endure the cross. It was painful for him to know the shame. And it's painful for you and for me to battle with the pressures that we are under. And I'm sure all of us, many of you I know, would wish for anything but what you're currently going through. You would do anything, wouldn't you, to change what you're currently experiencing. Jesus himself prayed that he could be spared the cross, but he endured. And then finally, has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It seems strange to us, but let's end with this thought. We will one day sit down in the throne room of God. No tears, no sighs, no suffering, no sin, forever with the Lord. But let's sing together.